I'd like to speak a little bit about each of this week's two parashiyos. What I mean is Zaisa Bracha, which we learned a few days ago, and Bereishis, which we're going to learn tomorrow. And going to Seder, I'd like to talk about the last words of Zaisa Bracha, and maybe a Havana, something to understand there. As you all know, the last words of the Sefer Torah, Ala'inu Kol Yisrael. The last words in the Torah talk about that which Moshe accomplished, as Kol Asha'asa, all the things Moshe accomplished, La'inu Kol Yisrael. What did Moshe Rabbeinu do? If I asked you to come up with one thing, all the accomplishments of Moshe Rabbeinu, that the Torah should end with, I guess you would say either Matan Torah, maybe Kriyas Yamsuf, Kriyas Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu taught Torah to Klal Yisrael, was the Rebbe of everybody. And yet Rashi, on the last words, spring from the Gemara, says that La'inei Kol Yisrael refers to Shviras Aluchais, to breaking of the Luchais. Yashar Koyach Sheshibarata, the Rabbi Nishalom said. The Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchos. Chazal say that he did it on his own. He wasn't told to break the luchos. And Rav Shalom said, "Yashar Koyach Sheshibarata." Seems very strange. Just the way you end Chamishachem Shetayim, it's Kol Asha'asa, Moshe Kol Yisrael. Everything Moshe Rabbeinu did is the Shviras Haluchos. That's the way you end. What? It's like it's a tragic moment that Moshe Rabbeinu Nebuch saw the Klal Yisrael was dancing around the eagle and he broke the luchos. There has to be some meaning and significance in it, and I'd like to share with you an idea which I saw. I believe it's in the name of Meir Shapiro. And before I tell you the idea, I'd just like to introduce it with a havana of a basic idea, and we'll come back to to explain it. I saw in the Sefer Derasicha in Parshas Ekev, they quote Rav Chaim Knievsky. They asked him a question. It seems there was a tzara in a mishpacha. Somebody wasn't well. And the whole family was getting together to make a sifa to daven. And they asked Rav Chaim whether they should go to the kaisel to daven, where the tefillah is with more srakshus, and it's a makim that's more mesugal for tefillahs to be answered. Or better, they should stay in Bnei Brak, find a place in Bnei Brak to get together, and they're going to spend hours. It's a bikkul of a number of hours till you go to the kaisel, till you come back from the kaisel. So they asked Rav Chaim for an etzer. What's better? Better to go to the kaisel or better to daven in Bnei Brak? So the language that they quote is that Rav Chaim said, he says, "Me oilam lo shamati." I never heard that when you make cheshbonos of davening, that pitul Torah should come into the cheshbon. He dismisses and he says, if you're trying to figure out the best way to daven, why is Bittul Torah coming to the cheshbon? Bittul Torah has nothing to do with it. Now you're talking about davening. That's what Rav Chaim told them, which is a surprise. I mean, I was reading it, and I assumed that Rav Chaim would tell them, better learn for 2 hours instead of traveling to the kaisel. And Lamaisa, he said the other way. It reminded me of something that I heard from Rav Moshe about 35 years ago. I went with a Masifta Bacher to Rav Moshe. His mother was having surgery. And we went for a bracha after Shachris. We davened Shachris for Rav Moshe. And afterwards, he went for a bracha. And then I asked Rav Moshe if it's appropriate during Seder to take 10 people upstairs to a room when the surgery starts and to say Tehillim. And again, to my surprise, I thought Rav Moshe would say in the middle of Seder, you're going to go up and then say Tehillim, do it before Seder, do it lunchtime. So Rav Moshe said, it is appropriate. And he said, the way he phrased it was, the chayla davdem, and the chayla davdem is the chayla needs schus of learning, and he needs schus of davening. They're two different schusim, it's like two medicines. Davening is one thing, and learning is something else. I always like to quote the end of Ramesh's the conversation, because I asked Ramesh for how long we should go say Tehillim. So Ramesh said, as long as people are still having kavana, the Pirush HaMilim of what they're saying. So we figured it wouldn't take all that long out of Seder, but the Nekuda is the same Nekuda, that the Cheshbon is a Bittul Torah and the Cheshbon is a Tefillah. When you're davening, the Cheshbon is a Bittul Torah, with a reason, I guess, and don't go into the Cheshbon. I once saw in the Nesiv HaShalom, he writes that he asked an Adam Gadol, he doesn't say who, he asked an Adam Gadol, on which chelik of avoida should a person concentrate the most? On his learning, on his davening, on his chesed, and which chelik of avoida should a person put consider the most important? So he says that he was told, whichever one you're doing now, you should feel is the most important. Whatever you're in the middle of now, if now you're davening, so davening is most important. If now you're learning, learning is most important. Now you're doing chesed. A person's attitude should be that whatever he's doing now, that's the thing that's most important. That's the thing that counts the most, and it is that way. Somebody is. Sometimes people come, they collect tzedakah for some tzairach, and they talk to you like it's the biggest tzairach in the world. And it's hard to imagine why somebody's tzairachim. They're nice, they're the biggest tzairach in the world. But the person who's being Isaac in it, it's good. He should feel it's the most important thing in the world. The way to serve the Ravina Shalom is whatever you do, you have to feel that there's a nechitzas to it. And that's the idea that when it's time to daven, but the Torah is not a cheshbon, right? When it's time to daven, then the cheshbon is a daven. When it's time to learn, then the cheshbon is the learning. And there are different aspects of a person's avodah. The idea is that whatever you're doing, you should do right. They say from Yisrael Salanter, he said, what's a masmith? A masmith is someone who learns when he's supposed to learn, sleeps when he's supposed to sleep, and eats when he's supposed to eat, davens when he's supposed to daven. Whatever it is you're doing, do it. Do it as if it's the most important thing. Do it right. I once asked Rav Palm, if I'm in Rosh Shmeina Esrei, I daven Nusach Svarad, I say Sim Shalom by Mincha. If I'm in Rosh Shmeina Esrei, and the Chazan starts Chazar HaShatz, and I switch to Shalom Rav, I'll be able to get Kedusha. If I say Sim Shalom, I won't make Kedusha. If I switch to Shalom Rav, I'll be able to, so what's so be it, I'll say Shalom Rav, that's so terrible. So Rav Palm told me no. He said, when you daven Shmeina Esrei, you daven Shmeina Esrei, you daven right. When it's time for Kedusha, you do whatever you have to do by Kedusha. You're davening. To me, it seems that Hapicheshbin, the difference is Sim Shalom and Shalom Rav is minute, and the difference between saying Kedusha and not saying Kedusha is major. But it's the same attitude. It's an attitude that what you're doing, whatever it is that you're doing, you have to do the right way. You have to do the correct way. So this is an attitude, it's a way a person should deal in his Avodas Hashem. Whatever you're doing, do it right. There's no downtime. There's a time to do this, you do this. There's a time to rest, there's a time to rest. When it's a time to learn, it's a time to learn. It's a time to daven, it's a time to daven. Whatever you're doing, you should feel it's the most important thing. Getting back to Rabbi Shapiro on the Shvira Saluchas. He says really a wonderful word. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu was told by the Rabbanu Shalom that Klai Yisrael served the eagle, created an eagle, and bowed to an eagle, and danced around an eagle. And the Rabbanu Shalom said, take the luchas and go down. The Rabbanu Shalom didn't tell him to throw away the luchas. The Rabbanu Shalom gave him the luchas. The Gemara says, Shloisha Devarim Asa Moshe Rabbeinu Mi'atzmai, Kosh Baruch Hu Hiskim Al Yadai, and one of them is Shriya Saluchas. The Rabbanu Shalom didn't tell him to break the luchas. Moshe Rabbeinu, he made a cheshbon. He said, I can come with these luchas. I can come with this Matan Torah. If I come with these luchas, if I come with this Matan Torah, it's not the best. It's always going to be a Matan Torah that's tainted. It's a B'dieva Matan Torah. It's a Matan Torah that was done with problems. In life, a lot of times we have an opportunity to do something And you have a choice. You can be patient and do it right, or you can be impatient and do it wrong. And do it half-baked. Wrong, I don't mean wrong. But do it. It's not legamri the way it should be. One of my many yetzaharis is that I'm not such a patient person. So when I go to do things, I just want to get it done and get it over with. But a lot of times, you know, I have to go back and fix it later because it's just, you know, it's not done the right way. It's a, I went to an eye doctor to try to get the bifocal type glasses. By the time I waited 45 minutes in the waiting room, I was already crawling out of my skin. So by the time I went in, I just said, just give me whatever you have. And is it good? Yeah, it's good. There's nothing to get out of there. So Lamaisa, I got them, but they don't really work. I don't know what to do. So, you know, I'm no worse than it was before, really. Set them down about $350. But that's my nature. It's not good. The right way to do things is to be patient and do it right. Patient, do it right. And if you're impatient, you don't do it right. Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the luchas. He had a choice. But Hashem told me, give him the luchas. These luchas are always, it's a tainted giving of the Torah. Giving the Torah to Klal Yisrael, that includes 3,000 people that were mamish Avdei Avodah Zarah, that were Chayav Misa, and many others that stood around. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, it's better to do it the right way. He broke the luchas. He says, better to start again than to go with something that's half done, that's half baked. La'ina Kol Yisrael is not what Moshe Rabbeinu did because the Rebbe Shalom wanted to do it, and that's why he did it. The La'ina Kol Yisrael is a lesson that Moshe Rabbeinu took Kol Yisrael, that you do things with patience, you do things the right way, you make sure it's done right. You're bringing the luchas have to come the right way. This is not the way the luchas should come. The luchas shnius were also not luchas rishaynus, but at least they came down on Yom Kippur, they came down on a day that's forever, a day of kapara. Do things the right way, even if it takes waiting. He says that all the three things that also Gemara says, Gimel Dvarim Asa Moshe Rabbeinu Midaitai, were all the same thing. What are the three things Moshe Rabbeinu did on his own? Hoisif Yom Echad Midaitai, B'matan Torah, he created a third day of Yimei Hagbalah. The Rosh Hashanah said, you can have 2 days of Hagbalah, it'll be enough. And Moshe Rabbeinu added a third day. He said, 2 days is enough. When you're doing it, do it the best way. Don't do it in a way that's good enough. Good enough is not good enough. When you want to serve the Rebbeinu Shalom, do it the right way. We'll wait 3 days. Why should anyone understood? I don't know how a person can make a cheshbon. The Rebbeinu Shalom says 2 days, the other day. I don't know. But why should anyone understood that it's kedai? And the third thing was he was parish meyishtai. Why was he parish meyishtai? Moshe Rabbeinu's darga of nevuah. He wanted it should be the perfect Darga of Nevuah, not good enough. It was good enough for other Nevi'im, was not good enough for Moshe Rabbeinu. He was perish miyishtei with Harishus, in order that he should never be Tamei, and never have to wait for the Rebbeinu Shalom to answer him. So he had a shayla, he asked the Rebbeinu Shalom. He got through right away. All three Nekudas are Nekudas, where Moshe Rabbeinu said, the Rebbeinu Shalom said something is good enough, and I say, it's not good enough, but I want to do more. I want to do better. The words good enough, we have to train ourselves to use the words good enough for buying clothing and buying ice cream and even buying a car and all the gashmis dikka things. They have to be good enough. Not for davening, not for learning, and not for mitzvahs. The idea that something is good enough, it's adequate, it's a mahalach ha-machshava in dealing with olam hazedika things. Supper, you want a good supper? It has to be a good enough supper. It doesn't have to be If clothing is good enough, then it's good enough. It doesn't have to be, you know, your shidduch's not going to go better because the clothing is, your imagination is the one darga higher. Good enough is fayla mazeh. I'm not saying you should get things that are bad, but good enough is fayla mazeh. For serving the Rabbi Nishan, whatever you're doing, you should feel it's the most important thing. You should roll up your sleeves and make it be b'hatzlacha. Whatever you're doing, you're making kiddush, you should say kiddush clearly, as if it's the most important thing you're going to do the whole day. And when you're davening should be, it should be that way. It doesn't matter if you're saying Aleinu on the way out, or in the middle of Shemini Esrei, or in the middle of Pesukah Dezimra. Whatever you're doing then should be done the right way, not good enough, the right way. Rav Schwab has this idea, he says in by Parshas Pinchas, actually at the end of Parshas Balak, when Pinchas kills Zimri, the Lashon of the Gemara, which I believe Rashi brings, is that Pinchas went over to Moshe Rabbeinu and he said, aren't we supposed to kill him? The Lashon he said there is Loikach Lamadetanu Avi Abba. Isn't this, didn't you teach us, my great uncle, Bishah Sheyaradeta Mehar Sinai, Kanoam Paikimbai? Isn't that what you taught us when you came down from Har Sinai? Kanoam Paikimbai. So Schwab asks, that's the first thing Moshe Rabbeinu comes back with the Torah from Har Sinai. He's got to tell Yisrael about kosher and about tefillin and about Kriya Shema. So the first thing he taught them, Bishah Sheyaradeta Mehar Sinai, is he taught them Kanoam Paikimbai. That's the first thing. Now you take somebody wants him to be a guy, you start teaching him halachas. So the first thing you teach him is Kanoam Paikimbai. Doesn't make any sense. Rav Schwab teaches Loi kach lemadetanu achi avi abba. Didn't you teach us? Bishoshi rata merasin. You came down from Arsina, you broke the luchas on your own. You taught us that when something has to be done, you do it. You do it. That's Kanoam Paikimbai. Kanoam Paikimbai is you do it. You don't have to do it, but you do it. So that's the idea of the La'enei Kol Yisrael, of what Moshe Rabbeinu taught Kol Yisrael. Good enough is for something else. In serving the Rabbi Nishalaylam, you do the best for you. You don't just be a stipler, but you do the best for you. And every time you're doing something, you should have that heritage that what you're doing now is the most important thing. What you're doing now is significant. It's that way within a relationship at home. In a relationship between a husband and a wife, that it should become just sort of a casual thing. You come home and then it's not important what you say, it's not important. You know, you're home, you kick off your shoes and you relax. In a relationship with a husband and a wife's relationship, and what you do every day you walk in has to be the most important thing. What you're doing now is the most important thing. The way you relate has to be on your mind all the time. If it's on your mind all the time, then you do it without slacha. Not just good enough. Good enough is for the way you talk to the doorman. Good enough is for the way you talk to the person in the grocery. Nice. But good enough is not the way you deal at home. Good enough. Not good enough. You know, I only get angry once a week. It's not good enough. At home, it's not good enough. Good enough is for gashmiyistika things. For dvarim shebikdusha, there's no good enough. Whatever you're doing now is the most important thing. And that idea, that hergish is roi to be saif kol ha'tayra, the leinei kol Yisrael. That you wait, let things happen the right way, even if it takes patience, it takes effort. It took a lot to go from to another set of luchas, Moshe Rabbeinu 40 days and 40 days. That's Moshe Rabbeinu's lesson. And with that, the Torah ends. The Torah ends with that lesson. It's an important lesson, I think, that in general, we become lackadaisical. And it's always later that a person looks back and he realizes he could have done more. It's the beginning of his man. You want it to work. You want it to work. It's not going to work if you roll in an hour before Shir. It's not going to work for Seder. It's not going to work for Shir. And it's always that way. The guys who are coming in an hour later, the guys who come in 9 o'clock, 9:30, they're running in and sitting down to learn. The guys who roll in 10:30 are all coming in with their coffees and relaxing, you know, sauntering in as if there's no rush. It's not. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's a b'di'eved. The b'di'eved is not the way to go. The chatchila is for kiyum mitzvahs. The chatchila is, you know, figure out what siddur makes sense for you and make it work. But I'm not complaining about those who come 10 or 10:30. I'm complaining the ones who come 10 and 10:30 are not coming. They're relaxed, very relaxed. That's the way it should be. Even let's say the Rebbe Hashem is happy with you coming 10:30. Let's say. After all, you have to chazit daf yomi, etc. But let's say he's happy. But he's not happy. You come in 10:30 as if it's unimportant. Whatever you do, do to your best. Whatever you do, when it's time to eat, you eat. When it's time to sleep, you sleep. When it's time to learn, you learn. The master does what he has to do. I once had an interesting incident here in yeshiva with a young man who he was here in shiur for a year or two, and then he was learning with the kohel for a few years. I was very close with him. And he was dating. He was dating for a number of years, and he dated a daughter of a friend of mine. A friend of mine called me and asked me about him, and I said, you know, I like the guy very much, he's wonderful. And he dated her. So I went on a date. So after the date, my friend called me. He said, okay, it's over, it's not again. But I just want to give you advice. Tell him that on his first date, he shouldn't tell the girl all his chasreinus. The first date, he shouldn't pile on all the chasreinus. You know, it just scares a person away. So I went over to him and I said, on the first date, you tell you all your chasreinus? He says, well, aren't you supposed to be open? I don't waste my time, you know. Aren't you supposed to be open? I said, yeah, but you know, you tell these many chasreinus the first date, you know, she's figuring by the eighth date it's going to be, you know, who knows what. Itaka was a ticking for him. I don't know. The Tikkun family didn't get married. It would be a nice story if the next girl he got married, you know. But he got married shortly thereafter. He didn't understand. Live your strengths. Live your strengths. Don't live your weaknesses. Live your strengths. Do what you can do well. Do what you're able to do the proper way. Do it well. Do it the way it should be. I once saw, if I may, there was a pitcher who was famous in my day. He pitched for the Twins, so nobody else ever heard of him, but he led the league in strikeouts every year. I once read, I think he got to the Hall of Fame, and he said he credited a pitching coach. This fellow had the best fastball. He struck out everybody. So when he was early in his career, he was working on a curveball. So his pitching coach told him, why are you putting so much effort into your curveball? You're not going to be a star based on your curveball. You're going to be a star based on your fastball. Work on your fastball. That's how he gave credit. Live your strengths. Do what you can do and do it well. Do it well. Nevaitis Hashem, do what you can do and do it well. However many hours it could be, do it well. Don't come in and patchka away the time. Whatever you figure is a proper Seyda Hayyam for you, do it. But do it the proper way. Do it the right way. Don't do it half-baked. So that's a thought going into this man. I think I had this thought on Yom Kippur. We end Yom Kippur with a Tkiyah Gedayla. So it bothers me a little bit because you never have just a Tkiyah Gedayla. Every place that there's a chiyuv tkiyah shofar, it's always with a truah, shvarim truah, right? There's a chiyuv on Rosh Hashanah, there's a chiyuv on Yovel. There's never a tkiyah by itself. It's always a shvarim truah. Shvarim truah symbolizes crying, and it's sandwiched by two tkiyahs. So what? There's no truah there. Remember that? Okay. So it bothered me why just a tekiah. Besides, I blow shofar. You know, I'd like to blow a little more at least. You know, like
You know, one kiyah, that's all I get at the end of Yom Kippur, you know. So I was thinking about it. It says, the Gemara says that on Rosh Hashanah you have a shofar that's bent, a bent shofar. There's a mandiyama that says that on Yom Kippur you should have a straight shofar, like a trumpet type shofar. The Gemara says such a lashon. It says, "Rosh Hashanah kama dekofif inish daita itfei mali." Rosh Hashanah, the more you bent, the better it is. And Yom Kippurim kama deposhit inish daita itfei mali. On Yom Kippur, it's good you should be straight. It's a very hard Gemara. Everybody has a very hard time explaining it. The idea of Rosh Hashanah you should be bent, daven b'achna, that we understand. Achna is tshuva. Daven b'achna. What does it mean? B'yom Kippurim kama the poshet inish daite tfei mali. What does it mean? The opposite of achna. Achna is tshuva. Being machni yourself. What does it mean? On Yom Kippur kama the poshet inish daite tfei mali. So I was thinking that when you're doing tshuva, you're b'achna, you do tshuva. So you work on it, you work on it el, you start with Shoshana, at least by Yom Kippur you get started. It's time to do tshuva. When it's over, the tekiyah is at the end of the day. When it's all over, you have to walk out, kama de poshet inish daite tfei mali. You have to walk out with a tekiyah gedayla. You have to walk out with your strengths, whatever it is that you resolve to do, not bent, but standing. Standing with a resolution to do, to accomplish. Achno is for a certain time, and standing tall, standing proud is for a different time. So that's this idea. It's a challenge, it's a big challenge to be able to live your strengths, even if you realize that they are bigger gedolim than you in Klal Yisrael, and they're even a bigger masmidim than you in the yeshiva, and they're more. What you can do, you have to do 100%. What you can do, you have to do without. Whatever you're doing, do right. Do correctly. And if you make Kiddush at home, if you make Kiddush tonight at home, say it clearly. It counts. It's, when you're saying Kiddush, you're mekayim mitzvah to say deraisa. You take a minute of your life, and you're doing it. Do it. Do it the right way. Do this. It's the most important. Rav Druk used to make fun. Mordechai Druk used to give shmuzen that were very popular among yeshivalite in the Beis HaMusar in Meir Sharim. Rav Druk was a personality. Those who still remember him. So Rav Druk used to say, I remember once I was sitting there when I went this summer. I used to go. So he said, "How do you make a bracha by tkiyah shayfer in shul?" He said, "What do you do with chazon? It's baruch atah, right? How do you bench? You bench like that." He said, "I don't understand. Benching is a mitzvah d'oraisa. The bracha on the shayfer is not even makiv. I mean, it's a mitzvah to say a bracha, but the yaitzah shayfer would have the bracha. So bracha on the shayfer is baruch atah, right? And benching is mumbled." Doesn't make any sense, huh?
Once a year versus
that. So I'll tell you the truth, I was sitting there in Shul Ibo Shaifer, and I say, Baruch, you know, I'm the one who says it. So I said, "No, he's right. I'm going to try by benching." See, Makavel, not all benching, just Baruch Atah Hashem to say, I'll say it to myself, not out loud, but say it in Bet Nigin, I'll say it clearly. That's what I remember thinking. So he spoke right before Maharav, Yidava Maharav. So you know how Kabbalahs are. That night by Malav Malka, I forgot about it. The next day I remembered, I think he did it once, maybe he did it twice. Forget about it. Whatever you're doing should be the most important thing. When it's time to bench, that's the most important thing. Most important thing, you have to work on it. And certainly when you're in yeshiva, when you learn, that's the most important thing. And when it comes Shabbos afternoon, you have to have a Seder Shabbos afternoon. That's the most important time of the week. When Sunday comes, then that's the most important time of the week. There has to be a sense of urgency. All right, this is my thought. I thought it was a beautiful vart from May Shapiro regarding Leinei Kol Yisrael. Do it the right way. Even if it takes effort, it takes time, it takes patience, do it right. All right, let's move on to Bereishis. Bereishis, I wanted to talk to you about we say the Emunah of Bereishis, and the fact that we grow up in our own little time zone and we don't realize, you know, it's a hard thing. You know, there are a billion Muslims. They're chopping off each other's heads, so it'll go down a bit. And there are a billion who claim to be Christians or Catholics. And there are 1.2 billion Chinese, which why God needs 1.2 billion Chinese is one of the mysteries of the Bria. And, you know, there are 12, 13 million of us. And, you know, then our own mishpachas, you know, half the Jews don't know they're Jews. And sometimes you don't realize in the picture of the history of the world where Klal Yisrael is, an appreciation of the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael. All the other faiths, all the other beliefs, all changed, all disappeared, all dissolved. You know, it was till the Churban Bayis, after the Churban Bayis Rishon, there was just Avodah Zarah or Yiddishkeit. These religions didn't exist. When Yetzar of Avodah Zarah was bottled, so they scrambled. They couldn't even make up their own religions for the most part. They just sort of borrowed off Yiddishkeit. You know, the Welt says there are three major religions, right? Lahavdol, Islam, Catholics, and the Jews. Lahavdol. Who are we? We're a little family. How many are we? A handful of people. But everything came from us. I want to tell you about Bereishis Bara Elokim. I was once at a Sheva Brachas. Somebody was a shir. God, it was in the Nesman, it was in the country. And no, it wasn't Sheva, it was a Pinyan Aben. So I was sitting there, I was sitting next to someone. Someone introduced me from fellow who's a professor of astronomy in one of the Massachusetts, one of the Boston universities. So I told him the following. I told him I have this kasha for years, and you know it's not important enough for me to call an astronomer. But once we're sitting here anyway, let me tell you what I don't understand. A lot of things I don't understand, but this is something that bothered me. Now, you know, the world today believes in what they call the Big Bang Theory. The Big Bang Theory means the world started at a certain moment with an explosion, and there was a beginning of time. How long ago it was, so they have chulukei deis, you know, a billion years this way, that way, whatever the shitas are. It varies in different periods, anywhere from 7 billion to 13 and a half billion years ago, whatever shita they hold. You should know that until the late 1950s, most astronomers, most scientists, from the times of the Greeks, I mean the Yavanim of Hanukkah fame, till about 1960, most astronomers didn't believe in the Big Bang Theory. They believed, they called the steady state theory. The world always existed. Ha'olam kadmon. That's the Lashon the Rambam calls the Yavanim. They believed ha'olam kadmon, the world always existed. There was no beginning. No beginning. Einstein believed in the steady state theory until he was disproved towards the end of his life. How was he disproved? So there's a fellow named Hubble. They named him after the telescope. The fellow named Hubble, Charles Hubble, I think, was very into telescopes. And he proved that all of the celestial bodies are speeding away from Earth at tremendous speeds. Everything's moving. It's not standing still. It looks like it's standing still. It's moving. He was able to prove that it's moving, however he did that. Now, if everything's moving, so if you go back in time, everything is going this way. It's nothing altered. You know, there's no remote control up in space that altered courses. So it started from one spot. So the whole scientific world was made that there had to be a beginning. There had to be a Bereishis. How did the Bereishis come? So from 1960 to 1990, they scrambled to find some other explanation other than God, which they weren't interested in. So that's what they're working on. All right, that's the background. So I want to tell you the question I asked this man. He's a Talmid Chacham, he's an astronomer. I told him, this is the kasha always bothered me. Tell me if it makes sense to you. We're on Earth. So when they take telescopes and they look, everything is speeding away from Earth at the same speed. That's why they say it all came from one explosion. Everything's speeding away at the same speed. So I told him, I have this kasha, I don't understand it. Let's say there's an explosion right here. Now projectiles go this way and that way, and this way and that way, all directions. So Earth is one of those projectiles, right? So it's flying, let's say, to my right. It's flying this way. So if we're on Earth and we're busy flying this way, and we take a telescope, when we look that way, and look that way, it should be different. When things are going the same direction as us, they should be speeding away from us at a certain speed. When we look in the telescope the other way, it should be speeding away at least twice the speed. You guys clap? You see what I'm saying? Right, if you have an explosion right here in the middle, and things fly in two directions. So if you're sitting on something flying this way, the things going with you, they're not changing position from you very much. Going the same. If you're going the opposite direction, that's going away from you at a very fast speed. Right? If you're on a bicycle and there are people going the same direction, so even if they're faster than you, they're not going much faster than you. These are in the opposite direction, are going very far. That's a good question. No? I think that's a great question, no? No, the science books all say Earth is not the center. That's one of the cloud goggles that knows the Shurish of Api courses. Any book that explains this says man thought Earth is the center of everything. We're not. We're just a little lifeboat in a sea of Sansar. We're not the center of anything. So why is everything speeding away? That's my question. If you have to question, it's a very good question. So he answered me. He said, imagine you take a balloon. You take a balloon, you make dots on the balloon. And then you blow up the balloon. As you blow up the balloon, each dot is becoming further away from every other dot. Right? As you blow up the balloon, every dot is becoming further away from every other dot. There's no dot going in the same direction as the balloon. Why? Because the space on which it sits is becoming bigger. Right? The balloon is becoming bigger. And everything, the space itself is expanding. So then the space between the two dots, any dot, is going to become bigger at the same speed, because the balloon is getting blown up at the same speed in all directions. He said that science believes that before the Big Bang, there was no such thing as space. Space itself is being created as the stars speed away. Space itself, Mokim, is also a Bria, it's also creation. And it's also speeding away. So I told him, I can't believe it. You know, the Maral said hundreds of years ago, Mokim is a creation. And before creation, there was no time, there was no space. And everyone said it's ridiculous. The whole world made fun of it. How could space be a creation? How could you have a world with no space? And today, science itself is saying space is being created. Before that, there was no space. Whatever that means, our minds don't understand it. So when the morale says it, you know, it's mystical. But now the scientists are saying it. It's the strangest thing. My point is that the more they try to find excuses to deny a Bairi Olam, the more they're going back to what the Chachmei Yisrael said years ago. You know who's the first recorded source for the Big Bang? What's the first recorded source? The Ramban in Parshas Bereishis. The Ramban says everything was created in the first instant, and the rest of the days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it in its right spot, separated, put it in space. It says everything was created in the first instant, and afterwards everything was sorted out. The Ramban says. But the Ramban said it was mystical today. My point is that whenever the world tumbles over the Yidden, it's just it's a physic in our emunah. That there's still, you know, you go on the plane with and you meet another Jew, you talk to him long enough, either you know his cousin, or you know his neighbor, or you're related to him, you know, something, we're one little family, how are we all the Yidden? And the whole world tumbles over us. The whole world tumbles over us. And as science gets more and more advanced, discovering more and more things that you know, that we believed all along. It's the whole idea of Bereishis, of the Big Bang, the so-called Big Bang theory. It should be a chizik emunah, except that people aren't in tune enough to know. Anyway, that's my thought. If you're looking for a varach to stay over at Sheva Brachis, try the first one for today, not the second one. But at any rate, I hope we have a good Haskalas Hazman on Sunday. There is a shiur from Reb Nachum. I made copies. It'll be on my shtender on Sunday morning. And hope everyone will get into the sugya properly. We should all have a wonderful Hazman together. Sunday is the most important day of Hazman. Make it good.